Good morning, Grace. It is good to be with you again today. Let love be genuine. Amen. At age 21, I found myself trapped in an unlikely and untenable situation. Trapped, stuck in the Arctic tundra, 100 miles above the Arctic Circle, with a tent and some freeze-dried food, a gun, and a two-way radio, neither of which I knew how to use. By any account, this was an unsustainable, unbearable reality. My dad and I traveled in Alaska often. This was his spiritual home. My father, who was a fisherman, a photographer, and a poet, found his deepest inspiration in the culture and landscape of the Alaskan wild. And so, for my 21st birthday, we were dropped off smack dab in the middle of the Arctic tundra to float down the Hulahula River, a glacial river that pours from the tallest portion of the Brooks Range, and then to hike the rest of the distance to our pickup spot about 140 miles or so away, all in 14 days. But as life would have it, in the middle of July, a snowstorm settled in right on top of us, and the water from the Brooks Range froze, and the river dried up, stopped flowing completely. So our only mode of transportation, a small blow-up boat, was now useless. We assumed in all hope that soon the snow would stop, the sun would return, the ice caps would melt, and the water would flow again. We hoped things would go back to normal, to what we expected, to what we had planned. Spoiler alert, it didn't. The snow didn't stop, the water didn't flow, things did not go back to normal. Our radio died, and our food began to run out. We had no way to contact anyone to tell them where we were, and we had no idea when they might return to get us. Happy birthday to me. After 14 days of pacing around our little campsite and hiking a few miles just to keep things moving, after days of watching for bears and eating freeze-dried food, I was becoming restless. I found myself in deep need of change. I considered trying to walk the 145 miles to the pickup point. I considered attempting to get the boat to float in the 2 feet of water left in the small, tired little river. I thought of everything I could do to create the change I needed. By day, I don't even know. Some days later, somehow the bush pilot finally found us, just miles from where they had dropped us off. The fog and snow had finally cleared enough to fly down and land on the tundra for a minute. There was just enough of a clearing to make it in and load us up quickly and fly back up into the stormy sky in a valiant attempt to get us back to civilization. Now, one would think, after all the uncertainty, the deep desire to be out of this situation, one would think I would have been utterly overjoyed when I saw that little biplane land and the pilot open the door and order me to get inside. But rather than grateful, what I felt was deep resistance. The sky looming overhead, the clouds still thick and the air stormy above. Turns out the change I was being offered in that moment, well, was not the change I wanted. The change, getting into a small biplane and heading into the stormy skies, was daunting and terrifying to me. And for the brief moment I had to consider getting in the plane, I was resistant. I was thinking to myself, no, this cannot be happening. This cannot be the way this is going to go down. Spoiler alert, I got on the plane. In our gospel reading today, Peter and all the disciples are facing a great change. Jesus, their teacher and friend, is telling them plainly, I am not going to be with you much longer. I'm going to Jerusalem and they are going to kill me. Things are going to change. He's telling them this to prepare them. But Peter, remember him, the guy walking on the water, the foundation of the church, that guy, Peter rebukes Jesus and says, no, this is not the way it is going to go. Peter is resistant. Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. Peter's resistance was a stumbling block to change into the way of Jesus. Change is inevitable, but growth is a choice. And resistance can be a real stumbling block for growth. And resistance to change is always human. Change is hard. Change is hard even when we know it is inevitable, because change that we cannot control brings up fear and uncertainty in all of us. I think when we say we want change, often what we hope for is calculated, measured reorganization. Often we want change, but we want it in a way that is comfortable and tolerable for us. When the plane landed on the tundra and I was ordered to get inside, that was not the change I wanted. I wanted the snow to stop, the sky to clear. I wanted things to return to what my dad and I had originally planned. Frankly, I wanted a normal birthday party where we went to a bar and drank beer like every other 21-year-old. I wanted normal. I wanted safe. I didn't want change. We all deal with change in different ways, even the disciples. In the blog Ministry Insights, Rodney Cox explores the way Peter and Thomas handled the news of Jesus's departure at the Last Supper. The change that Jesus tells them must take place for his resurrection to unfold. Rodney Cox puts it this way. He says, Peter's response to Jesus's impending departure was spontaneous. Lord, why can't I follow you now? In his usual fashion, Peter was intense. He was ready to move forward with passion and excitement. Peter was a classic dynamic, a person who embraces change with energy and impatience, ready to charge ahead quickly. His motto, let's go. Thomas, on the other hand, needed time to think about the upcoming change and make a plan to manage it. Lord, we don't know where you're going, he says to Jesus. How can we know the way? Thomas wanted a map and an itinerary. Thomas preferred a systematic, deliberate approach to new situations. Thomas's motto is, let's make a plan. Forging ahead and making a plan can feel like two ways of handling change that are dynamically opposed. But Jesus knew that in reality, both were needed. Both Thomas's way and Peter's way of handling change were important for the way of Jesus to unfold. Now, of course, there are more than two ways to handle change, but the point of this illustration is that there is no one way to handle change, but that change, in fact, is inevitable. Growth and transformation are optional. Growth and transformation are a choice. When this place began to discern your call for a new rector, you had an intentional process. You held many listening sessions. You took amazing notes and you wrote an inspirational parish profile. There's one paragraph that when I was discerning this call brought me the most energy and pulled me toward this place and this work. You said, "Studies suggest that we here at Grace have been a contented, comfortable community of believers. As noted in our history, we have had little upheaval over the years. During that time, we have been polite and friendly to our visitors. We have made an effort to care for those in our midst, and we have been moderately active in our ministries beyond the church. Studies also suggest that we are perhaps growing uncomfortable with who we are and have begun to long for growth and change. There is a hunger in us," you said. "The rector we seek should be filled with infectious energy it will take to capitalize on that restlessness, to stir us up." Spoiler alert, you got it. What I want to say to you now is this: just because studies show you want change doesn't mean that the way it shows up will always be welcomed. Just because we are restless does not mean we are ready for what lies ahead. And I want to say that is okay. It is okay to want to jump right in, and it is okay to want a plan. It is okay to feel whatever each of you feel. When Peter first hears of the change of Jesus' departure from them, he is resistant. But by the Last Supper, he is exclaiming, "I want to go with you, Jesus." Feelings are not good or bad, and we all know feelings change too. We can't control how we feel, but we can control how we act. We can control our behavior. Jesus says to Peter when he is at first resistant, "Get behind me." Jesus says, "I hear your resistance now. Follow me." You and I have been called to follow the life-giving, liberating way of Jesus. The way of Jesus has not changed, but your leadership here in this place has. You have not been called to follow me blindly with no plan. I have been called here to stir you up, to challenge and support you, and you are called to challenge and support me, and we together have been called to follow Jesus. Things at Grace Church Asheville will change. They already have. And we may be feeling tired of change, tired of coping and dealing and growing. Some of us may desire a plan, or we may be ready to jump into something radically different. Whatever we feel is okay, but we are called to behave in ways that lead to growth and transformation, because more change is coming. Change is inevitable. Growth is a choice. Jesus spoke plainly with the disciples about the changes coming. He didn't just head to Jerusalem without preparing the disciples. He spoke plainly to them to prepare them. And I want us to speak plainly with each other as well, so that we too can be prepared. I want us to name what is hard, what is challenging for us, and how we feel, because this is the way we will be prepared for the changes Jesus has for us here at Grace. You called a new kind of rector to Grace. I want to say that I am aware that for some of you, I may be a challenging change to adjust to. You may have feelings that you need to speak out loud. I can't know what feels challenging or exciting for you, but I don't want to dismiss the obvious. While I know you have had assistant rectors before that were female, I imagine still that for some of you, having a female rector is a challenging change. I know you stated you want to advocate for those on the margins, but for some, perhaps, my work in anti-racism feels radical or political or divisive. And for some, those are the exact reasons you are excited I am here. But I was called to be here with all of you, not just the ones that are excited about these changes, but also for those that are resistant to these changes, because we are called here together to follow Jesus. Naming our points of excitement and resistance is the only way we can truly be together to follow the way of Jesus. This naming our feelings will allow us to focus our energy on choosing together to get behind and follow our Savior, Jesus, who is unchanging. When I got on the plane to head out of the tundra, I was scared. To fly in that weather was dangerous, but to stay in the tundra was also dangerous. There was no option that felt safe to me, so I had to face my fear. I had to trust the pilot. When we began to lift off, my dad and I had on headsets so we could communicate with the pilot. He was trying his best to calm our fears. He was telling jokes and pointing out the different mountain ranges. And as we flew, he pointed ahead and he said, "Check that out, folks, a rainbow." Right in front of us was, no joke, a huge rainbow. And because we were in the sky, it didn't fracture. It wasn't hitting the ground, so it was a full circle rainbow right in front of us. I had never in my life even considered that rainbows are, of course, full circles, and that without ground to fracture the light, they would appear in a circular form. The pilot then said to us, "Hey, you want to fly through the rainbow?" My dad looked back at me and I yelled out, "Yes, yes, let's fly through the rainbow." And so we did, right through the center of an unfractured, brilliant rainbow. Best birthday present ever. Amen.